It's the Dort Podcast. It's the Dort Podcast.
With Keith.
It's the Dort Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the Hashtag Dort Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. I'm once again your host, Rich Keefe, and joining me this time around is none other than Rich Shirtley from the Toucher and Rich program. Rich, how are you?
Tired. Yes.
Tired. Good. Good to have you.
It might take me a while to answer questions. My brain is in sleep and it's in massive brain fart mode. So just
excuse me
if it takes me a while to. I stayed up way too late last night watching Stranger Things. I'm trying to catch up on it because my wife is obsessed with Barb and everyone's obsession with Barb, and she doesn't want to read anything about Barb because we don't know what happens to Barb.
Got it.
So
you're halfway through or roughly halfway through?
Three episodes through.
And so I was talking to you before, you don't love it. Like, I loved it right away. We did a whole episode on it. I loved it. And you're kind of on it, it feels like.
Yeah, well, it's not it's just it's put it this way, everyone's kind of freaking out about like the 80s vibe and the music in it. The music's the big one. And that synthesizer stuff they use, I saw it used better in the movie It Follows, which came out about a year ago.
I did see that. That was creepy.
Which was great. And that was kind of a great throwback to like those 80s horror movies. And it was in the way it was made and also the music that they used. So I've seen it done better recently.
Okay.
And the acting, I was telling you off the air the other day, I just finished watching Preacher, which I thought was about 9/10 of a great season. The end of it was not very good. But up to that point, it was like super slick, polished. The acting was great. The direction was amazing. It was like you're seeing like a big budget movie.
Yeah.
And then to go watch Stranger Things, it seems like it was made on a shoestring and not in the way that it's supposed to be, like it's in the 80s, in the way that it's almost like, wow, our budget really sucks.
Like, here's how much money we have.
We
have time for 8 hours. We need to do whatever we can with it.
Right. But it's good. Listen, it's got me watching and it's getting better. So
it is getting better. I think you'll like where it goes. I mean, it is. It's like Goonies, Stand By Me meets like alien like type thing, you know, like it's like crazier sci-fi. It's a little elements of horror in it as well. Winona Ryder, she's back.
She's fine. Yeah.
All right, less excited than I thought. That's okay.
And the thing is too is that if you ever wanted a picture of when I talk about where I grew up and I talk about Kennesaw, Georgia, the place where it's the law to own you have to own a gun, that show is filmed about 20 miles from where I grew up. It's filmed in Georgia, and the houses, all the – that's where I grew up. I mean, that might as well have been filmed in my neighborhood.
That is funny.
Yeah so there you go. It explains a few things.
There, it really does. So there you go. Stranger Things. So you're continuing to watch that. Also, congrats on 10 years. You guys recently celebrated 10 years of Toucher and Rich.
It's a massive gargantuan achievement.
It really is. It's incredible. And so 3 years of sort of rock radio, right? And
BCN.
Seven years now of sports radio.
Yeah.
I know you've told the story before, but when you guys – when it was announced that you're going to be flipping to sports, you kind of thought that was the end, right?
It was the worst because the sports station in town at the time was awful. And there was no station that I liked to listen to less than that because they're always angry about everything. And
a lot of yelling.
A lot of like controversy out of nothing. And I just couldn't do that. And I even told them, you know, when they told us we were flipping, I'm like, I can't do like they do across the street.
Yeah.
And in fairness, they were really cool. And they said, you don't have to. And then so we kind of did our version of it, and it hopefully works.
And
so
it has worked. What would you say are some of your favorite moments? Because I think that was one of the things that came out. Everybody was, you know, whether it was tweets or emails or calls, just sort of thinking back on 10 years, and whether it was with BCN or the sports of, you know, like the Westboro Baptist Church thing.
That's my favorite bit of all time.
Is it? I was going to say,
yeah.
It should be, because it is. I think it's on YouTube for people who haven't seen it yet, I think it's on YouTube. That was just so well done. Everything was like the perfect kind of hits all the way through, and you could just hear how irate the lady was on the other end. And that was at a time too where, like, the Westboro Baptist Church kind of comes and goes from the news. But at that time, like, that was a great time to have them on. How did that whole thing come together?
Well, she, Margie Phelps is her name. She's like the head of the Westboro Baptist Church, which is not a Baptist church or anything at all. It's this just hate group. They're the ones who, you know, have the signs that say, God hates fags.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Is
huge
the sign. Like,
yeah.
Matter of fact, I think that's their website, .com.
Jesus.
Yeah, so they're like the worst of the worst.
Right.
And they were going to protest Heath Ledger's funeral
because
he was like, he had a Brokeback Mountain and had a sex with a man. And so they put out this big press release, and everywhere people were just yelling at him, like, how can you do this? And I was like, you know what? let's really, really F with these people, but take it from an angle to where they think we're on their side.
Unbelievable.
And so we created a fake radio station called Praise 108, and we were Mark and Tim, and we had all the music in it, we read all the stuff, but then we had like these commercials we had produced that we would put them on hold during the interview, and the first one was for like Gay Anonymous Sex, GayAnonymousSex.com, I think, and then another one was for Swinging Dicks, which was a... like a gay strip club, and of course they had like gay Toby Keith and like, you know, gay Mike Huckabee and all the people that they, you know, I'm sure they hold in their hearts as being sacred. And yeah, so, but it went off perfectly. It was like things couldn't, like I thought she was going to hang up after the first, like the commercial. She stayed for the second one and then
she kept talking to you guys. It was unbelievable. Then she finally got really upset with what was going on. But then you guys were also doing like the delicious dish voices, like from SNL. You guys are so calm the whole time. So
well, we put her on hold and we told her she was on hold and we didn't think, quote unquote, she could hear us. And then Fred and I talked about how much, you know, sex we had together, and she got really upset about that and started telling us we're all going to go to hell, and it couldn't have been anymore.
Absolutely tremendous. Now, how long into BCN was that? How long have you guys been on the air?
A year? Okay. A year, maybe? Like, that was about a year?
That was right up there at the top. What are some from the Sports Hub?
Well, there's two things from the Sports Hub that I'm really, I look back on, and I think there were two of my favorites. And one was the birth of 98 Mile, and the reason is because that was a whole station thing.
Yes.
And when we first proposed, you know, this rap battle, because summer sucks for sports and there's not a lot to talk about, and so we're like, you know, let's just do something where we all rip on each other. And that was in the first year of the station, or second year maybe.
Oh wow, that's right.
And I we asked all the people at the station if they would do it, and surprisingly almost everyone said yes, and we're like, wow, this is kind of cool, everyone's buying in on this. And it became this thing where we all like crapped on each other for, I mean, like 3 weeks, and we kind of, that to me made me feel like 98.5 Sports was like a gang.
Yeah,
like we all kind of were this kind of cool gang.
We're all on the same side.
Yeah, we're all on the same side, and it was nice, and it worked out for everyone, and I liked that. The other thing was the Scallenge. That was another one of my favorites.
Oh, that's right.
Because Brian Scalabrine was a guy that, to be honest, the reason we had him on the show is because all of the good players, quote unquote, cost a lot of money, and the other station had the rights to them, and we couldn't get anyone, so we said, why don't we get the fan favorite? Let's get the one that, you know, never plays but gets cheered when he goes. So we kind of had him on as a joke at first, but then we put him on, and he was amazing. Like, he's, as you know now, he's got a great basketball mind.
Yeah, I mean, now he's doing color commentating for CSN. He's doing the Celtics games now.
Yeah, he was an assistant coach for the Golden State Warriors for a while. I mean, he's thought of, you know, as a pretty smart basketball guy, and we love the guy. He ended up becoming one of our favorite guests, and we just said to him, hey, every time we have you on, there's people who say, why do you have Scal on? He sucks. He can't play basketball. And so long story short, we tried to find five of the best basketball players that we could find. They would submit videos, and they played him one-on-one, and he just destroyed them, absolutely destroyed them.
I never understood anybody that thinks they could, like, beat somebody that's in the NBA.
It's
the same thing, like, when people crap on Zolak, it's like, you know, like, he held a clipboard in the NFL.
Yeah,
like,
right. He played in the NFL.
Like, I don't understand how people can't get that. So that was good, because that put in perspective, I think, for some of those that thought they could beat him. He just destroyed
everybody. Well, Scal for years practiced against Kevin Garnett.
Yeah.
Like, practiced against the best of the best.
Right. He was like an All-American, I think, at Southern Cal.
That's the other
people
thing, too.
Forget, he was a great college player. People were like, whatever. He doesn't play in the NBA.
Yeah, so he just killed those guys. It was really, and he enjoyed it. He enjoyed making them suffer. It was pretty funny.
Now, yesterday on the show, you mentioned, I don't know how John Lovitz's name came up, but you mentioned that he was one of the three worst interviews you guys have ever had.
Oh, yeah.
So first of all, what made him terrible, and then who were the other two, or at least who was in the mix?
Okay. Well, Lovitz was terrible because he came in and started talking politics. And not even like funny politics, like angry politics. And it wasn't even weird enough to be like funny.
Yeah, you're like, okay, what's the point of this?
Like, he just kept ranting about Obama and something Obama had said, and we're like trying to toss out, hey, so, you know, I heard about this one time you and Chris Farley blank, and he goes, yeah, Chris Farley, so Obama, and we're like, what an a-hole. Like, and I think he was reading the paper while he was talking to us too.
So he's like in studio promoting something.
Couldn't have been a bigger dick.
Wow.
I mean, as far as the worst, I mean, there's been people. I'll tell you who was one of the worst before Toucher and Rich was when I was with the Kid Craddock show, Heath Ledger.
Heath Ledger was terrible, huh?
Like an a-hole, like a massive entitled.
You can't say that now, I don't think.
No, you can't. It's like, strike me down. But he was promoting like A Knight's Tale. So what he had done at that point was A Knight's Tale and 10 Things I Hate About You.
Right. Classic.
And he came in and, oh my God, you could not. He was such a dick.
Wow.
He was reading the paper. Once again, reading the paper seems to be a theme. If you come in and just ignore.
Yeah, that's terrible. Like, I wouldn't even know why. I mean, I understand that those guys do like 1,000 interviews in a day, but come on. Like,
yeah.
You're still promoting something. Like,
yeah.
I don't know why you're doing that on the, whatever. So Heath Ledger, that's an interesting one.
Yeah, he was horrible.
Now, you guys have obviously, and I guess it's Fred really more that does it, but you've hung up on a lot of guests.
Yeah.
Which is really funny, but you have no idea, right? It's usually because Fred controls his own board, for those who haven't like seen it.
Yeah.
And so like whether it's Bill Walton, Rick Pitino, Theo Fleury, which is still like my favorite.
Yeah.
Because of just it was such a long play to get Theo Fleury on. But so he hangs up on him and you usually have no idea, right?
Theo Fleury is the only one I knew.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, Theo Fleury, if you don't know the backstory, was a guy that we for I think 5 different times had him lined up for an interview. And it was kept like, oh, sorry, man, I forgot, I'll do it next time. We're like, Theo Fleury.
Yeah.
And after the third time, it was just kind of funny that he kept doing it. So the 5th time we had him scheduled, and he actually called in. And during the commercial break, right before we went on the air, I said, Fred, you should hang up on him. I was like, you got to hang up. I mean, after the 5th time, I mean, now it's so ridiculous, you got to hang up on
him. That was great.
And we did that. But no, the Pitino thing was a total shock. And you can hear by my reaction.
Yeah,
and
you heard a lot, yeah.
And it was perfect. And the Bill Walton thing was the morning after the Celtics had lost to the
finals,
Lakers in the
right,
finals.
Exactly.
And we had Walton already scheduled for something else.
Right.
I had no idea it was going to be on the same day. And speaking of Brian Scalabrine, he had called in earlier. Like, he called in on his own at 6 a.m. It was 3 a.m. L.A. time. He was, like, wandering the streets of L.A. He was upset, spilling his heart out. So we'd had that real honest moment, and everyone in Boston's pissed off at what happened. And Walton comes on, and he can't shut up about how awesome his son is, Luke Walton. And Fred, oh, last night he was a great scene, the Luke Walton. And Fred was just finally like, all right, that's enough. No one wants to hear that. And they hung up on him. So.
Yeah, no, that was definitely a good moment. All right, shifting gears from the show, there something that came out on Twitter last week. I don't think you tweeted this, but this was like trending and all that. It was the hashtag #FaveSevenFilms.
Oh yes.
And you're another movie guy like myself. So 7 favorite films. What's great about this is it gives you an opportunity to share with people what your 7 favorite movies are, then for them to tell you how terrible they are,
what
bad choices your favorites are. This isn't the 7 best. It's the 7. Your 7 favorite.
What did you tweet?
These were mine.
Okay.
And again, I got plenty of backlash on them. But Snatch?
Snatch is very good.
One of my all-time favorites.
Is that better than Lock, Stock, and 2 Smoking Barrels, though?
To me,
Guy Ritchie?
It is.
Really?
It's right above it in the power rankings. And then there's a huge drop-off to like your Rock and Rolla.
Yeah, and then you go like, what's called? Castaway?
Yeah,
and
yeah. Get out of here with those.
I hated the Sherlock Holmes movies, too. Like, Guy Ritchie came out with a bang, and then it was disappointing.
I went with, speaking of Heath Ledger, The Dark Knight.
I love
The Dark Knight.
It's a borderline perfect movie.
I also like Guardians of the Galaxy, and I know I'm doubling down on comic book movies, but I loved Guardians of the Galaxy.
No problem with that. I thought it was... You like that better than The Avengers?
I did, because it's like Star Wars meets, you know, Marvel characters. I thought, like... I don't know. I liked them more than The Avengers.
Okay.
Yeah, I did.
All right.
Old School.
Old School's very funny.
I had to throw a comedy on there. I threw MacGruber on there.
Now, MacGruber's
one
a
of my
top 7. Now, MacGruber is a very funny movie.
Again, top 7 favorite film. And
okay.
I was trying to think really hard. I'm like, what movies do I defend a lot? Do I like to watch? And do I quote a lot? And I'm like, MacGruber's one of my favorite movies. So I had to put it on there. But people are giving me crap for that. True Romance is one of my favorites. We've talked about True Romance on your show before when we were doing different drafts.
True Romance has
it.
One of the great all-time scenes. The
it
scene
does.
Where Hopper's about to die, and he makes that speech to Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
It's great.
You're an eggplant.
My only problem with True Romance is that the script went into that Quentin Tarantino self-indulgent territory at times.
There was some like monologuing type things.
Yeah,
and,
like
and
the I didn't like the Gary Oldman character. I thought that the Brad Pitt
very
character
strange.
Was great.
Brad Pitt was good.
I thought that Alabama was great.
So I thought she was the best female character in any movie.
Period?
Yes.
I have to think about that.
I mean, that's a daunting question. But I came across thinking that she was just an incredible character. And Christian Slater was good.
Yeah.
That the scene with Alabama and James Gandolfini in the hotel room is insane.
That's really good, too. I just tell me you have a Tarantino on there because you can't put True Romance as something the best
I know,
thing.
I don't.
That's so you're saying that True Romance is the best thing that Tarantino's been involved in?
Yeah.
That's insane, dude.
I know.
Better than Reservoir Dogs?
So Reservoir Dogs I do like slightly more than Pulp Fiction, but I like True Romance, I think, more than both.
Wow.
Now, if I had to do a list of best movies, and I was like sort of trying to, you know, encapsulate what everybody else thinks, I know that True Romance isn't higher than those. But for Fave, it's hashtag Fave films.
So you'd rather watch True Romance than any other thing that Quentin Tarantino's been involved
in? Yeah, nuts.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, that is nuts.
And then my last one is Empire Strikes Back.
Okay.
I had to have a Star Wars one on there.
Empire Strikes Back is good.
That's so that
good.
Was my seven.
All
so
right.
What, I mean, you don't have to have exactly seven, but what ones would have made your list?
Okay, let me see if I can get seven here. Goodfellas is number one, without a doubt.
Yes.
Sideways is number two.
Oh, you're a big Sideways fan.
That movie makes me cry laugh, and it's genius. Like, I love Alexander Payne. I love Alexander Payne. Although I didn't like Election, and I thought Citizen Ruth was all right, but from Sideways on, the guy makes perfect movies. Paul Giamatti, movie crushes me. Like, he not only is laugh out loud funny, but there's scenes in it where you just like want to cry. The guy's like, it's one awkward, uncomfortable moment at the next. They're like two of the most like despicable people, but you like can't help but feel for both of them by the end of the thing.
I gotcha. That's fair.
I love that movie. That's a borderline perfect comedy for me. Number three is Fargo.
Yeah, great call.
There's no movie I quote more than Fargo, not even knowing I'm quoting Fargo.
Yeah.
I think every day I quote Fargo in some sort of way, shape, or form.
And then, so you said on the show today, you watched season two of the TV show, and then you haven't finished season one yet?
Yeah.
Both pretty good, and there is, like, so you watched... So you know that there's like a little bit of a tie.
I do, yeah.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
Obviously there's one kind of big one, then there's another one later on.
I read
on
everything
reveal.
You could read about season two when it came out. So I was obsessed with why there were spaceships and all that stuff. And
that was insane. It is weird that it really has nothing to do with the plot of the movie.
None.
It has nothing to do with it.
Nothing.
But like, it is the same feel to it. The accents help and
stuff,
that kind of thing. So yeah, no, that one understandably is on your list.
And that is tough because, I mean, like, Coen Brothers, to me, they're probably they've got to be my favorite directors. I can't think of any. I mean, there's Tarantino's great, but Coen Brothers just from pure volume of great movies.
What was that new one they did with like with Jonah Hill?
Inside Llewyn Davis? Oh no, Hail Caesar. Hail Caesar not that great.
Okay.
Caesar was not that good, and that's a very rare misfire for those guys.
Got it. I have not seen it.
The only other misfire, like absolute misfire that they've made, in my opinion, was Burn Before Reading, the one with Brad Pitt.
Burn After Reading.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he was like the trainer.
Yeah, that was a misfire. But then you think of like, not only did they make good movies, they made great films. Miller's Crossing. Oh, sweet Lord. When's the last time you saw that?
Yeah.
No Country for Old Men.
Awesome.
Just
love that
unbelievable.
Movie.
And that's right up there, too.
Yeah.
Blood Simple.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, dude, it's their first movie. They start, Raising Arizona.
Yep.
Oh, my God. I mean, all of those movies.
They have a ton.
A ton. They might have four movies in my top 20.
It's amazing that they've worked together for so long, too.
Yeah,
because they haven't done like any on their own, or have they?
And no, not that I know
of.
I know that Bill Murray seems to has this story that he did the Garfield movie because a guy named Joel Cohen was the director of it, and he says the reason he did Garfield because he thought it was one of the Coen brothers, which is the most unbelievable story ever. But because it's Bill Murray, we'll believe it.
I do, yeah.
Okay, so number three is Fargo. Number four. I got to go with Team America World Police.
Awesome movie.
That's my favorite comedy. I'll watch it every time it comes on.
It is amazing.
And I'll put right behind it, because this is quickly becoming my second favorite comedy, is Step Brothers.
Really? Like it that much? It is good.
Well, John C. Reilly is probably the funniest person on the planet.
He is amazing.
I mean, check it out. Is there there's no show on TV that makes me cry laughing every time I watch it. I tears in my eyes. I know that sounds like an exaggeration, but
no,
there
but
are tears
real.
In my eyes. Three out of the four times you watch Check It Out, or at least I do, I have tears in my eyes.
What channel is that on?
Adult Swim. It's 11 minutes long each episode.
Yeah, that's right in my wheelhouse. I can watch that.
Dude, it's awesome. Watch the entire, and the new season's amazing. They came out with a
bang. He randomly has such a small part in Guardians of the Galaxy, too. John C. Reilly's in it, and you're like, why would he take that role?
It was like a weird, serious part, too.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere.
In the Nova Corps.
Then I would go with City of God.
So I have not seen that.
Oh, dude.
I heard it's something else.
It's Goodfellas.
Yeah.
Imagine Goodfellas, but with like 7 and 8 year old kids in Brazil.
I don't know if I could handle. I don't know if I have the stomach for that.
Dude, it's intense.
Yeah, it must be.
It's these young kids who rule the streets of Brazil, and the gang members, like the average gang member, I think is like 12 years old there.
Jesus.
And there's, I mean, it's, but it's also.
Is it more documentary or is that like a, it's like a movie?
No,
oh, it's a movie.
Done like Goodfellas. It's like, and it's even got like the crazy montages of the crime sprees that they go on.
Okay.
But it's terrifying. As a matter of fact, if there's anything that kept you away from the Rio Olympics going there, you should just watch City of God, seeing all the crazy ass crime they've got going on
there.
That's
insane.
That's really good. And then I don't know. I guess to round it out, do I have to throw a Tarantino on there? I guess I do.
You probably should.
My favorite Tarantino movie is the first Kill Bill.
Oh, yeah. The Kill Bill 1 is awesome. 2 drags a little bit.
It does.
It's not bad.
Yeah,
but it's...
2, they dropped the ball. They had the best theme song in Kill Bill 1, and they just threw it away in the second one. And the second one also...
That was all RZA, right? Wasn't RZA doing the...
The second one... Well, RZA... He threw him a bone. I think that he put RZA on the soundtrack just to say, hey, I know RZA. I'm cool. Like, he was like the nerd in school, and now he's sitting at the cool kids table.
He's looking at me, who I'm friends with.
Hey, RZA. Yeah, you know, I'll fund one of your movies.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say Kill Bill 1's my favorite there. So that probably rounds it out.
So are you more of a, I mean, you can be both, but are you more of a movie guy or a TV guy?
Movie, without a doubt.
Without question, right?
There is a period between the years of about 92 and about 2007. Where I saw over 50 movies in the theater a year.
Jesus. Well, I know you do the reviews all the time, too.
That was part of it. For work, I did that. You know, once a week, I would see whatever the big movie was that came out.
Yep,
but even before that, like, Mary and I were just huge. Mary worked for a movie studio.
Okay.
And so part of our gig was we would go out to these premieres and things like that. And so, that's my wheelhouse. Like, I saw at least 50 movies in the theater a year.
How often do you find yourself agreeing with Rotten Tomatoes scores?
A decent amount.
Decent amount.
They're pretty close. There's been recently there haven't been a ton where I've been like, oh, you're out of your mind.
So I was surprised, and I know you saw Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
We did a whole episode on that right after it came out. And so I by no means think it's a great movie, but I was shocked that it was as low on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, I actually kind of thought it was fine.
It's awful.
It's better than Batman v Superman. Did you see that?
See, I actually thought Batman v Superman was a little bit better.
Okay. So, Suicide Squad is obviously very chaotic, but I thought, all right, like, that, it's going to be.
Let me ask you this. Why was the Joker in the movie?
No, great, no reason.
There's no reason.
Zero reason.
He moved the plot ahead in no way, shape, or form.
Oh, the reason was... advertising, marketing, getting people to see it. That was the answer.
That was
it. In the movie, there's no reason.
There's no reason for him to be in the movie. Is the ending the biggest mess ever? And it is also a ripoff of the ending of Ghostbusters.
It's Ghostbusters.
What is up with
it's
the dance?
X-Men Apocalypse.
That chick
it's
was doing.
All these different, I don't know.
Okay, how about this?
Harley Quinn and Deadshot to me were good enough to make the movie. I was glad I saw it.
They tried their hardest. They did. And I actually felt bad for Will Smith and that really good looking girl from
Margot Robbie.
Yeah. I'm glad you pronounced it because I didn't know if it was Robbie or Robbie.
I think it's Robbie.
But here's the biggest thing in the movie that made me kind of scratch my head. Is the world's going to crap, which, by the way, is because of the Suicide Squad. So they're solving their own problem.
Yes, they're causing some of that.
They're causing all of it. A member of the Suicide Squad has to cause all the destruction.
Enchantress was never really in the Suicide Squad.
Sure she was. At the very beginning, that scene in the room where they're the CIA
is committed to it.
Okay. So they're the ones who cause all the screw-up. How about this? Where's Batman?
His job was done because he already rounded all of them up. He may be in Gotham. This is Midway City. This isn't Gotham.
Well, if only he had some sort of mode of transportation to get around that Batman.
Like a Batmobile. Well, we might find out in the next movie that he's dealing with something.
Well, we realize that the Joker was there. He's from Gotham.
Joker wasn't he was there. But Batman, the next rumored Batman movie with Ben Affleck is supposed to take place in Arkham Asylum.
Okay.
And potentially he could be locked in Arkham Asylum at this point.
Okay. Well, then where was the rest of the Justice League?
Superman's dead.
Justice League was in the beginning of the movie. The Flash helped wrangle up the dude with the boomerang.
He did.
So he's around. The Justice League
I don't know where the Flash is.
The Justice League exists.
Yes.
The world is exploding all over and where's the Justice League?
they're not there.
It's the dumbest premise for a movie.
There was holes in it, I'm not going to lie.
A million holes.
I thought there was enough good.
Have you seen the douchey video that Jared Leto did as the Joker with Skrillex and Rick Ross?
No.
I've
tried to is he the worst Joker of all time? He's not in it a lot, so maybe he's not in it enough to make a real impression. Now, there's only 3 movie Jokers, but then there's, like, video game Jokers, there's cartoon you know, TV show jokers and things like that.
Yeah, he's definitely the worst because, I mean, think about it. Now that you mention it, you know, because Nicholson owned. I mean,
he was
great.
Awesome.
Of course, Heath Ledger was
killed it.
Amazing.
Well, I shouldn't have said that, but he was great.
Yes. Well, Leto. Yeah, Leto just. It was too hammy and cheesy. When I heard all about the, he sent used condoms to somebody.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's so method.
Yeah.
he was bad. And I don't know. He went kind of like thug style. Like he was wearing like a leather jacket with no shirt on.
But that's not on him. That's on the people put together. But like knowing that you went behind the scenes to essentially made, like you did all that stuff behind the scenes to be basically the movie equivalent of Howard the Duck.
Yeah.
You made a movie that was about of the same quality as Howard the Duck, and you did all that stupid stuff with the dead pig. It's like, I hope you feel good about yourself. And now he's backing away from it.
He is.
Have you seen that?
Well, he also said that there's enough extra footage for like a whole movie.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a movie that people don't want to see.
No, they don't.
Because you're Jared Leto and you're the Joker.
And then so he has like the grill in or whatever. He has like all the fake teeth. And they don't tell you in the movie. They tell you, the director tells you after the movie.
Did they fall in acid or did they fall in jello? When the two of them were kissing and they fell, here's a vat of acid. And no, they're just kissing.
Well, it's Ace Chemicals. It's like a chemical bath.
Yeah.
What that was.
Yeah.
But apparently Batman punched out his teeth. But they don't tell you that in the movie.
Oh.
You had to like read a tweet from the director after the movie.
Oh, that's good.
So listen, there's a lot of problems in it. I just thought it was better than Batman v Superman, which was a low bar. And Man of Steel wasn't very good either.
Man of Steel had potential. And Man of Steel, Man of Steel had, the best parts of Man of Steel was when it didn't involve any action scenes. Like I thought Kevin Costner was really good as the dad.
Yeah, Diane Lane.
Like all the stuff on the farm I thought was good and the score ruled. Like they got the dude who did what's his name, Hans Zimmer.
Oh yeah, Hans
of Inception fame. And
it sounded good. I mean, maybe I'm just not a big Superman guy.
No, but that fight at the end was like, that movie was 30 minutes too long.
What
are you doing?
Yeah, that was rough.
Yeah, that was a bad. It wasn't very good. But I liked Batman v Superman a little bit better because I was so surprised that Ben Affleck actually was very good.
Do you like Yeah, he was very good.
Yeah.
Do you like comic book movies? Do you find yourself watching like all those?
I see them all.
Yeah.
But I don't. Like Marvel's been amazing as of late, and I know I'm not, I'm Captain Hot movie take here.
Civil War was awesome.
It was great, and the first Avengers movie was perfect.
Yeah,
like you couldn't have written it any better. They got the perfect guy to write the dialogue. It couldn't have been any better. I hated comic book movies for a long time before that because they took themselves way too seriously. Like what happened was, The Dark Knight brewed this whole.
Oh, everything had to
everyone
be
had to be dark and
brooding.
Menacing, and it's,
yeah.
And at some point, I want to see a movie with the tone of the the first or two X-Men movies.
So I think that's why I like and like that's why maybe I like Guardians so much is because they sort of went a different direction. They're like, listen, they can be funny. Like it's almost a comedy. That whole movie, and like there are serious parts, there are real action scenes, but then they get back to being funny. Now I think you mentioned before you're not a huge horror movie guy.
No, I like scary movies. I hate slasher movies.
Got it.
Like slasher movies to me don't really have a point.
They gotta kill the babysitter.
Sure,
like that.
And to me it's very lazy and lame. But I like this movie that the trailer's out called Don't Breathe looks amazing.
That does look awesome.
And I guess it's got like 89% on Rotten Tomatoes.
So that'll be a huge boost because Suicide Squad made so much money in the first weekend and then just did terrible in the second weekend. I think a lot of it is just word of mouth and Rotten Tomatoes. So if this Don't Breathe that comes out this week is if it's getting positive reviews, So basically the premise of that is...
The guy's blind and they try to rob him, but they don't realize that he's also a guy with super senses everywhere else, and he traps these people in the house, and I guess it's a house of torture.
It's great, though. It's a different spin, because usually there's been times where, the bad guy, if you will, is blind. Like maybe it's a monster that can't see, or a vampire that can't see, or like The Descent, where those creatures in the cave can't see you.
The Descent might be one of the scariest movies I've ever seen.
That was nuts.
That movie was... insane.
Plus, like, the claustrophobic aspect
of it. That's because they spend a whole, like, hour and, like, 15 minutes building up the tension just because these people are backstabbing each other and there's the claustrophobia, and then they all of a sudden throw in these effing mutants out of nowhere.
These creatures.
These things that have been living down here. Like, it was...
Unreal.
Yeah, it was one of the toughest movies I've ever had to sit through in a theater.
Oh, yeah. See, I didn't see it in a theater. I think I probably would have crapped.
But it was great. But it was... it wasn't tough as in, like, when I saw... what was the movie? Irreversible. Where they had the 9-minute-long rape scene. Like, that's what am I doing in this theater?
No. Like, Last House on the Left, like the original one.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, I didn't see that in the theater. But movies like that. Is it?
Yeah, that's not...
A little over the top.
Irreversible is the only movie that my wife walked out of.
Oh, really? She was like, enough.
Yeah, it was, and it was like Monica Bellucci. Like, this was like a and the movie itself, if you could just fast forward through the 9 or I think it might even be 11-minute long rape scene, is a really good movie. Jesus. But it's like, we get
besides,
the point.
Besides that, which is horrifying.
Right. Yes. But it was, so there you go. There's my Gaspar Noé take. That's the director of
that.
Pretty good.
All right. Last thing before we get you out of here. Mm-hmm. Are you all in on like the new Star Wars, or were you in on the old Star Wars?
I think that I am. I thought that Episode 7 was borderline perfect. And I actually am really scared about all the other ones coming out that don't have J.J. Abrams as the director. Yeah. I think he is the perfect guy for the job. He nailed the tone. He nailed what everyone wanted to see. And that was a nice hat tip to the old days. Plus, you've got the new, you know, the new fans are, you know, you won the new fans and you the old ones are back.
Yeah.
And I think that the new thing, like that Rogue One, looks way too serious.
They did reshoots,
it looks
which is
humorless.
Scary. I think it's like darker than normal Star Wars.
I don't want that at all. Do not go back to that Episode 1, 2, 3 crap. I don't want that in least. So I'm nervous about the rest of them, but I loved Episode 7.
All right, Rich. Well, thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
I'm glad I could give you some hot movie takes.
It was the hottest of the movie takes. Toucher and Rich, of course, 6 to 10 a.m. You can listen to them on the Sports Hub. You can watch them on CSNNE. Great stuff.
Hashtag dork.
All right, so Rich had to run. We didn't have a ton of time to record. I do appreciate very much him joining the Hashtag Dork program. Maybe not the last time that he, again, huge movie guy, so it was awesome to have him on. As you may have noticed, to start the show, we skipped over This Week in Dork. Let's do that now. This Week in Dork, of course, is brought to you by Mac and Goo. Do or do not, there is no try, is a line famously said by Fozzie Bear. So we are not asking to try, but do. Listen to Mac and Goo. You can find us at all the cool hangouts like iTunes or the less cool Google Play, or go to macandgoo.com and get all the audio you can eat. Also, feel free to check out our new library of blogs and read until your eyes bleed. How about that? Mac and Goo, not just a podcast anymore. So we're also pushing a blog as well, as it turns out. So go check out all their stuff. So some of the TV stuff from This Week in Dork, The Night Of continues to be pretty solid. We are down to our final episode coming up this week. Well, I guess depending on when you're listening to this or not. So this week, the night of, and that will be the next episode of Hashtag Dork. So a little teaser ahead. They're going to finish their 8-episode run, and it's been good. I don't know how many of you have been watching this, but it's been really good. I think it got out to a great start, and like a lot of shows, hit a little bit of a lull. But I've really enjoyed it, and we're going to take a look back. We'll see how how it concludes. Like, that's really going to sway me, I think, on whether it's one of the shows of the year or not. But it's been interesting. Some what if going on. Who doesn't like a whodunit? I think we can all sit here and look each other in the eyes and say, I do enjoy a whodunit. So The Night Of, which right now is probably operating at like about a 5 out of 6 on the old Infinity Stone scale. And we'll see how the last episode is. It's been pretty good stuff. I don't want to spoil anything here. We try not to spoil stuff in This Week in Dork, so I'm not going to get too in-depth. Maybe you've had it backed up on the old on-demand or the old DVR or the HBO Go thing that you have. Mr. Robot is moving right along. It's been pretty good. They had a big reveal in the last episode. Again, I won't get into that. Mr. Robot, I don't know if we're going to do a standalone episode on that one or not. I think that'll depend on what kind of tweets and texts and things like that emails we get about Mr. Robot. But it's been pretty good. I think overall, season 1 feels like it's been a lot better than season 2. But still, compared to what else is on TV right now, this is still probably up there as one of the better shows. Now you start to look at Scream is over. Now, I know none of you watch Scream, so I'm not going to spend a ton of time talking about Scream. But it is over. Season 2, believe it or not, a twist ending. Oop, maybe I've said too much. Nah, it doesn't matter. You're not going to watch it anyway. But I think there might be a Scream or a third episode of Scream. I think I gave it a 4 out of 6, and that might be high. I enjoy it. I enjoy watching it. I know it's not a great show, but it's an enjoyable one that I watch. Also, I don't know how many of you have been watching Hard Knocks. Obviously, it's not super dorky, but it's TV, so it's under our umbrella. We're going to talk about Hard Knocks. Los Angeles Rams. There's been 3 episodes. Of course, this is a team that has the number one pick in the draft in Jared Goff. They have maybe the number one pick in your fantasy draft, Todd Gurley. They have some characters, like they're trying to develop Alec Ogletree a little bit. Robert Quinn's a really good player. They don't really show him a ton. They got a guy, I think it's William Hayes, on the defensive line that doesn't believe in dinosaurs. So I like that aspect of it. But he does believe in mermaids. So, you know, you figure that one out. But it's been very fine. Like, Hard Knocks is sneaky, not that good. Like, what do we really like about Hard Knocks? Anything? I mean, the Jets one, don't get me wrong, the Jets one was amazing. But after the Jets one, I think you're finding less and less stuff to really enjoy in the Hard Knocks. I mentioned last week in the pick of the podcast, Last Chance U on Netflix. That's about this junior college in Mississippi. I think it's East Mississippi Community College. And it's a lot of guys that either couldn't make the grades to go D1 or they went D1 and then got kicked out or whatever reason they wanted to transfer. And you always hear about those guys that they go somewhere and rather than completely sitting out a year, they go to a lower level so they can play. And that's one of the places where you can go. This Last Chance U, they've had a lot of good alumni at the school. Like LeGarrette Blount, he went there before going to Oregon. He played two seasons there before going to Oregon. Chad Kelly, now I know we're getting into more sports stuff, and so some of you are saying, what the hell are you talking about? But so Chad Kelly went to Clemson. He's Jim Kelly's nephew. Went to Clemson, got booted out of there, went to this East Mississippi, and is now the starter at Ole Miss. So it's really cool. It's only like 6 episodes on Netflix, follows them around, coaches, players, this athletic academic advisor. And there's also like a weird twist with like a couple of the girls that are going for like homecoming queen, which I don't know you did that in college. But anyway, there's all that. Overall, it's really good, and it's worth a watch. Also this week in Dork, Madden 17, as we continue the football theme, Madden 17 is out. I don't think I'm going to get it. I know it sounds crazy not getting a football game, but I just don't have a huge desire. I had last year's Madden, didn't play it nearly as much as I thought I would, and I'm still playing Overwatch, playing the hell out of Overwatch, waiting for the fall season or season 2 to get going on Overwatch. So I think I'm out probably on Madden. You guys can let me know, again, at Dork Podcast on the tweets, dorkpodcast@gmail.com on the emails. Let me know what's going on with Madden 17. And then something that Rich mentioned, the movies this week coming out, there's one called Don't Breathe. And if you've seen the preview, I think I tweeted out the trailer for it. If you haven't seen it already, it's making the rounds on TV because the movie's in theaters this weekend. Basically, it's like these three teenagers, we'll say, decide that, you know what, they're down on their luck. Things aren't going well. I think one of them wants to leave their family, and they're like, where are we going to go? And they say, you know what, I heard this guy, this old man has $300,000 in his house. Let's go rob this guy. And he's a blind guy. But they're like, well, like, who knows? Maybe he still could be a bad guy. So they break into that. This is all in the preview, so obviously there's no, or the trailers, there's no spoilers here. They go into the house. The guy wakes up, grabs one of them, has a gun, grabs one of them, and the other two sort of like jump back. He grabs the one, and he's like, how many of there are you in here? And the guy goes, it's just me. And then he shoots him. He shoots him. I believe he's dead. Who knows? But he shoots him in the head. And then the other two kind of like jump back. They don't know what to do. But now they basically have to get out of the house. And what an unbelievable idea. So I don't know if I'm going to see this one in the theater or not. It definitely came out of nowhere. I was not prepared for this one, but I'm excited for it nonetheless. So I'm looking forward to that. Oh, also something that came out this week is the trailer for Batman Return of the Caped Crusader. So if you like animated stuff, very goofy. So if you want to get away from the dark brooding stuff, and you want something a little bit lighter fare, like your Adam West Batman, your Robin with like the short little underoos, then there you go. Check out the Batman Return of the Caped Crusaders trailer. That also was tweeted out by @DorkPodcast. All right, let's get to the pick of the podcast. We'll wrap things up with that. This is interesting. This may even spawn its own episode down the road. We just, of course, had the 30 best Nintendo games Davey and I went over in the last edition. This we talked about on Toucher and Rich earlier today, and it was the 50 best video games of all time, according to Time. And this is video games like anything goes video games, which to me makes it really difficult to argue. Like, how do you argue Pac-Man versus Grand Theft Auto 5? I'll let you discuss. You know what? So I think we may do this. So if you want to go check it out, you can. I'll tweet out the link probably when we do the episode. But it's pretty fascinating. It's a fun little walk down memory lane. You can see how many games that you have played
A lot of good stuff on there. Tons of winners. I'm sure people listening to this have played almost all of them. Like, I did a quick skim earlier, and there was only a couple that I was like, what is this game? For the most part, it was all winners. Maybe not as many old school Nintendo as you would want, but a pretty good mix. They even have like a little brief synopsis on why this is one of the top 50 games of all time. It's a pretty daunting list, but one that I think we should certainly go over in great detail. Maybe we can do that a little bit later on. So thanks for listening to this episode of Hashtag Dork. Make sure you subscribe if you've not already. It helps the podcast. You don't have to do anything, but if you want to do that, that's nice. You can also write a comment. You can rate the podcast out of star. They don't go to 6 like we on our scale, but you can go to 5. You can light us up there. So iTunes, Google Play. Continue to tweet us as well, at Dork Podcast. Appreciate the tweets, the feedback. And on the email, if you have like a longer form tweet, you can send it to the electronic mail, dorkpodcast@gmail.com. Good stuff. Thanks for listening. Hashtag Dork.